Boker Tov. Boker Tov is good morning in Hebrew. Boker Tov. Very good, very good. It's great to see you this morning. I am so honored to be able to come and speak to you today because when I was born about 700 years before the time of Christ, God recognized that there was a time of great need for God's people to hear promises about the Messiah. And so I was called the evangelist or the gospel writer of the Old Testament. And I consider it such an honor to be able to be a spokesman, an instrument of the Holy Spirit, as I share with you today some of these promises about the Messiah. Because the needs of God's people 700 years before the Messiah was born are the same needs that God's people have today. My name, by the way, is Isaiah. And what I'd like to do is I would like to share my story with you as it's relating to four different kings that I served under. Let me tell you first of all about King Uzziah and the need for the gospel. King Uzziah was king my whole childhood. He reigned as king in Jerusalem for 52 years. So, you know, it was one of those, he's always been king. And he was a powerful king. It was an exciting time to be a member of the nation of Judah at that time because Uzziah's power was well known around the nations. And we enjoyed peace and security. And Uzziah was a God-fearing man. But sad to say, what happened to Uzziah happens to an awful lot of people whom God richly blesses with power and prestige. He gets filled also with pride. He wasn't content being a powerful king. But near the end of his life, he chose to become a priest as well. Now, for those of you who don't live in the Old Testament, this may not be a thing that you understand, but in the Old Testament, God had said that only descendants of Aaron could go into the temple at the time of the morning and evening sacrifice and burn incense on the little golden altar of incense in the holy place in the temple. That incense symbolized the prayers of the people going up before God. And Uzziah wanted to be a priest too. Now, the priests banded together and said, "No, King Uzziah, you're being unfaithful to God." But Uzziah became angry and he started to yell at these priests right there in the presence of God in the holy place. And you know what happened then? Suddenly, leprosy breaks out on his forehead. And all the priests fall back. And Uzziah, for all his rage and bluster, suddenly realizes how frightening it is to come into the presence of God. And he is unclean with leprosy. And he's quickly ushered out of the palace and never serves as king again. The reason why I mention King Uzziah is something happened to me that was a lot like King Uzziah. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that I was called to be a prophet. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw a vision. And in this vision, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I saw seraphs, fiery angelic beings with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they were flying, and they were calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of His glory." And at the sound of their voices, the temple shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And I cried out, "Woe to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." You see, I knew what happened when Uzziah stepped into God's presence. And here I was, very much like Uzziah, suddenly thrust into God's presence. Just like Uzziah raged against the prophets, he yelled and screamed in the presence of the Lord, I had done the same. I had grown up in a time when so many of the Israelites just kind of went through the motions. They made sure that the sacrifices were happening. They kept the religious festivals. But, you know, right after they left the temple, they would go and engage in sexual immorality. They would use the power that they had to oppress the poor. You know, they were paying lip service to God. And I'll be honest, I got angry. I raged against them, and they raged against me. And now, just like Uzziah was in the presence of the Lord, I was in the presence of the Lord. And I knew, I'm a man of unclean lips. I have no right to be in God's presence. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. If that's where the vision had stopped, I would have clearly understood the need for the gospel, but I would not have known the gospel. But the vision went on. One of these seraphs, these fiery angelic beings, took some tongs, and with those tongs, he took a coal from the altar, and he took that coal in his hand, and he put it to my lips, and he said, "See, your sin has been atoned for." Now, it wasn't at that point in my ministry that I truly understood how it is that my sin could be atoned or paid for. It was much later that the Holy Spirit spoke through me, and as I studied what the Holy Spirit caused me to speak and write, I began to understand how it is that unclean people like us, who rage against God, who say things we should never say, who are unclean, how unclean people like us can stand in the presence of God. How is it that our sins could be atoned for? Later on, the Holy Spirit inspired me to write about the servant of the Lord, the promised Messiah. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And with his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the guilt of us all. In that vision that reminded me of what happened to King Uzziah, I saw the need for the gospel for me and for you, and I had the gospel pictured. My sins have been paid for. And rather than me being ruined that day in the presence of the Lord, I was reborn. And when God called out, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" I shouted out, "Here am I, send me." And with that, my ministry began. I understood the need for the gospel, but sadly, many people didn't. It was very early in my ministry that God sent me to bump into a King Ahaz. So let me tell you about King Ahaz and the rejection of the gospel. King Ahaz was a weak king. In the 7th chapter of my book, I write how I met King Ahaz by the upper pool on the way to the washerman's field. It was the weakest place in the defense of Jerusalem, and King Ahaz was frightened, and rightly so, because he had a powerful alliance against him. But the Lord sent me to say to this wicked King Ahaz, a king that had chosen Baal as his worship, a god to worship, the Canaanite god Baal, a king who had sacrificed his own sons to this false god, burned them up on the altar. God sent me to this wicked king to basically say, don't worry about it. Be calm. This enemy alliance is not going to defeat you. Now, King Ahaz didn't believe me. Humanly speaking, I can understand why he wouldn't believe me. Just one of these kings earlier in Ahaz's life had given him a resounding defeat. 120,000 of Ahaz's soldiers were killed in battle in one day. And here I am going and saying, hey, Ahaz, now there's an even stronger alliance that's coming against you, but you don't have to worry about it. Ahaz didn't believe me. And so the Holy Spirit led me to say, the Lord your God says, ask for a sign. Test me in this. Ask for a sign in the highest heavens or the deepest depths. And I'll be honest, I kind of choked on these words. Because the Holy Spirit had me say to this wicked King Ahaz, the Lord your God, Ahaz, the Lord your God, the God that you have rejected, he still wants to be your God. The Lord your God says, test me, ask me for a sign. God wasn't giving up on this wicked King Ahaz. Ahaz in unbelief says, I'm not going to ask for a sign. What sign could God possibly give me that would convince me that he can help me now? And so the Holy Spirit gave me a sign to share with this wicked king that is just impossible. Therefore, the Lord your God will give you a son and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ahaz never believed that sign. But what I want to share with you today is that Ahaz's unbelief did not negate God's faithfulness. Ahaz was unfaithful, but God remained faithful. God gave a sign. He said, there is going to be a son born in a miraculous way, and he will be God himself, God with us. You're going to be celebrating his birth in just a few short weeks. The one that I know of as the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And the reason why I love to tell you this story about King Ahaz is every one of us has been an Ahaz. Every one of us has come to a point in our lives where we've said, God, I don't think you can do it. I don't believe that you care about me, that you have the power to help me. Doubts fill our minds. And I want to remind you that you have a God who is faithful even when you and I are unfaithful. You have a God who will not give up on you even though you have given up on him. God was faithful and fulfilled the promise. God with us, was born. And sometimes you and I may say, God, give me a sign. If you really are God, if you really care about me, then give me some kind of sign. And God says, I already have. Sign of Emmanuel. And then he invites us to learn about the life of Emmanuel and see that his name really is true. God is with us. Every miracle that the Messiah performed shows that it was God who came to be our substitute. The punishment of our sins was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I want to tell you in advance that when you recognize yourself to be that Ahaz, when you recognize yourself to be that person who has shown doubt and unbelief, you see yourself as that Ahaz and you recognize that sin, there is going to be a voice in the back of your head. Satan is going to be speaking to you and says, it is too late. You have rejected the gospel. God doesn't want you. And that's when I want you to go back to this sign that God allowed me to give to King Ahaz. This is the sign that was given to somebody who it's a sign given to each one of us. Emmanuel, God with us, has come to be your Savior. It's never too late. As our God. So he helps us when it seems that situations are beyond our control. He helps us when we're overwhelmed with a sense of guilt. But I'd like to tell you about King Hezekiah. Because sometimes we're not just overwhelmed with a sense of guilt. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed with the issues that are going on in our lives. And King Hezekiah, and what happened to him just reminds us that when the weight of the world is on our shoulders and crushing us, that the Messiah has come for people like us. You see, King Hezekiah, Ahaz's son, was a very different king. King Hezekiah was a godly man. But King Hezekiah was suffering the effects of his dad's unbelief. You see, what Ahaz had done, he didn't trust in the Lord to rescue him from this alliance. What King Ahaz, this enemy nation called Assyria, to come and attack the alliance. And this enemy nation called Assyria came and destroyed the enemies of King Ahaz. The trouble is, when a powerful country comes in and takes the nation just to the north of you, they also look at your nation and go, why should I stop at your border? And the Assyrians came on down and were attacking Judah and Jerusalem during the time of Ahaz's son, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is summoned out to that very same place, the weakest point of the defense of Jerusalem. And there the Assyrian army ridicules and mocks Hezekiah and the Lord his God. And they send a letter to Hezekiah saying, give up because God isn't going to help you. And the weight of the world was on Hezekiah's shoulders. Not just his life, but the life of tens of thousands of people who had fled into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is probably the largest city that it ever was at this point. All of their lives were resting on his shoulders, and it was a weight that was too heavy for him to bear. And so Hezekiah was different than his dad. What Hezekiah did was he spread out that letter before the Lord in the temple courts. and he asked me to come and join him in prayer over this issue. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to reassure Hezekiah that this Assyrian army was not going to attack and destroy Jerusalem. And the last phrase of the prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave me was, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." His energy, his jealous love for you, his zeal will accomplish this impossible thing. And do you know what happened that night? $185,000 Assyrian soldiers never woke up. They died in their sleep. And the Assyrian king went home with his tail between his legs. The impossible happened. The weight of the world was on Hezekiah's shoulders. And he spread it out before the Lord, and the Lord carried that weight, carried his fears. The reason why I mention that to you is not that you have 185,000 Assyrian soldiers attacking you, but sometimes the weight of the world seems to be on your shoulders too. And this is the promise that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you about the promised Messiah. "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. For you, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the weight of the world will be on his shoulders." Fellow believers, you and I tend to think that the weight of the world is on our shoulders, but the Son that was to be born is the one who would carry the weight of the world for us. All the things that we are worried and filled with fear about, He can carry that weight. His shoulders are broad enough. How do I know that? Because of the names that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with you. He is Mighty God. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful is a name that's used only for God. Only God can do wonders or miracles. You have a God who can do the impossible. He's the Counselor. Sometimes you feel like nobody knows and understands what you're going through. Nobody can look into your mind and understand the pain. But this child who is born is the Counselor. He understands everything. He became a human being just like you and me so that he could understand and sympathize with us. He's the Wonderful, the God who is a Counselor. And then he is the Mighty God, the one who is a warrior God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's never going to get old and feeble and not able to help you. And then he's the Prince of Peace. And the word peace in Hebrew is shalom. Shalom means everything is okay. When you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders, when you're worried about so many different things, it's my privilege to remind you about King Hezekiah and the gospel victory that he experienced and the gospel victory that you experienced too, because this son has been born. How do I know that? Even though I wrote it 700 years before it actually happened, because the Holy Spirit allowed me to end that part of the message with that same little phrase, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty." God's jealous, fiery love, that unquenchable love that He has for us, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The weight of the world isn't on your shoulders. He invites you, trust me, the weight of the world is on mine. That was the high water mark of my ministry. I so much enjoyed working side by side with this godly king, Hezekiah. But sad to say, the last king that I served under was not a godly man. Hezekiah's son was named Manasseh. He was worse than King Ahaz. And I'd like to tell you about King Manasseh. And the gospel rest that you can have when it seems that your whole world is falling apart. You see, that's what happened to me under King Manasseh. I lost my position of privilege there in the royal court. I was exiled from Manasseh's presence, but that wasn't enough. He was threatening my life. And so I hid in a hollow tree. Now, what I'm sharing with you is not recorded in my prophecy. It's referenced in Hebrews, the New Testament book, chapter 11, right near the end where it says, some were sawn in two. I'm referring to something that my fellow Jews, long after my death, recorded. Tradition, they tell how I was running away from King Manasseh and I hid in this hollow tree. And you know what Manasseh did? He had his soldiers cut the tree in half with me in it. During the time of King Manasseh was not a time of rest for me. But as I saw death approaching, I remembered a prophecy that the Holy Spirit gave me to share with God's people in the 11th chapter of my book. A prophecy of perfect peace, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb and the cow will feed with the bear. And a little child will put his hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. I wasn't experiencing peace and rest. But the imminent prospect of my own death made me look forward to the time when the Messiah would come back. Where it says, the root of Jesse will stand like a banner for the peoples, and the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. And by faith, I saw that place of rest, and I longed for that place of rest, and it gave me peace even at the moment of my death. And the reason why I share this with you is every one of us is going to go through a time when it seems like the whole world is falling apart. You too may go through a time when you lose your position of power and influence and prestige. You may get to a point in your life where you are bound up in your own body. It doesn't function the way it used to, just like I was bound up in that hollow tree. And unless the Messiah comes back before you die, I know that every one of you is going to face death just like I did. And I want you to remember that the peace that we have through King Messiah is not peace in this world, but a peace that he has prepared for us that we will experience eternally. Now, I've gone through this summary of my life relatively quickly. You know, I remember it well because I lived through it. You guys haven't. And so I'd encourage you over the next couple of days to take out my scroll, Isaiah. Start reading at chapter 6. Read through chapter 12. Drink deep of the wells of salvation that the Holy Spirit allowed me to dig and share with you. Because I know with absolute certainty that you need the gospel just like Uzziah did, just like I did. I know with certainty that you have this sinful nature in you too, that little King Ahaz in your heart and in your life that in many ways pushes God away. And I want you to know this incredibly persistent love of the King Messiah, Emmanuel, who still says, I am your God. I want you to know that when you feel just overwhelmed like King Hezekiah, that the zeal of the Lord Almighty is working through your King Messiah. And he will carry the weight of the world and the weight of your problems and cares so that you don't carry them alone. And I want you to know, just like I knew when I died, that King Messiah was with me by my side. And with him, you and I have everlasting peace. Amen. And we pray. Lord God, thank you for using Isaiah as your tool to share these wonderful promises about King Messiah, Jesus, with us. And just as we have been blessed by Messiah, by Isaiah's ministry, we ask that you would use us to be a blessing to the people around us. Because the issues that King Uzziah and King Ahaz and King Hezekiah and King Manasseh faced, the issues that Isaiah faced, we face too. And the people around us face them. And so use us, Lord, to give them hope. Amen.